So thank you very much. Good morning. And first of all, I would like to thank to the organizers for this opportunity to participate at this prestigious event and to share my ideas from a specific vantage point, I guess, because scientometrics is something that represents both a very popular theme, a very popular set of topics, and also a very specific contribution to the management of the cultural change regarding open science. And the key factor and the key point here is the management of open science, basically, because management, of course, needs information, needs basically scientific information. And in the case of open science, because it pertains, of course, to the arena of scholarly publishing, actually, the information can come from basically science studies, most notably the quantitative version of science studies, which is, well, primarily scientometrics. But I will talk a very little about impact factors and actually age indices and journal metrics today, which is what is expected, I guess. I would rather talk about a different level or a different domain of scientometrics that is at stake here. And to make my argument a bit more clear, a bit more visible, I would first start with an analogy. And this analogy has nothing to do with scientometrics, actually. It comes from a very different domain. It's a piece of open science through which I would like to demonstrate the role of scientometrics in the first place. And this piece of open science is this fabulous project in the US, which is called DC Cat Count. Now, how this DC Cat Count is related to scientometrics? Well, in a lot of ways, actually. First of all, what is DC Cat Count at face value? It is, not very surprisingly, counting cats in Washington, DC, as in counting publications and counting citations for scientometrics and for evaluating, for example, open access publishing. But if we dig into the background of DC Cat Count, and we would like to inform ourselves on the real patterns and the real structures behind, we would find that actually this is a project, this is a very deep scientific project on basically on the modeling of the DC cat population. So it comes from basically population biology, population dynamics. It's a multidisciplinary project. And actually the main goal, of course, is to inform policies, to inform the, well, state policies in many respects, such as health policies, such as environmental policies, on the effects of this of the population dynamics as actually studied with regards to outdoor cats, as in, for example, open access publications. What's more, there is a huge lot of conceptual issue related to this project because it raises a lot of methodological questions, such as, for example, to distinguish between indoor cats and outdoor cats, or to somehow to manage the counting of cats without duplicates, for example, because a duplicate cat is something like a duplicate publication, which is very harmful, for example, measuring performance. So actually, we can clearly see that there is a different level of DC cat count than just counting publications, as in counting pets and counting citations. And this is the level that I want to actually talk about in relation to scientometrics and open access. The perceived role of scientometrics is something like this, and it relates to the very management of open science, and it relates to the discussion basically between research managers, sales managers, or publishers. The situation, of course, the basic situation for scientometrics is contemporary collection management and making the best deals with publishers in terms of subscriptions and APCs, and the framework we have here is evaluative, of course, because we actually talk about impact factor journal metrics. With this argument, this is a typical argument of publishers and also sometimes research managers as well, that we have, as publishers, for example, we have a highly ranked journal collection along some journal metrics or measures, of course, which means that we provide high quality content to the research community. This is what represents quality scientific information, And that is why we must actually subscribe, or research managers or institutions or universities should subscribe to publishers, which in this area of model and paradigm change to open science is, of course, I mean, the, as is usually being discussed, the subscription to paywall journals is a huge issue and as an obstacle to this cultural change. So this is a typical argument that we face in this context. Now, this is the point when we can actually, in the first place, can go beyond this usual perception of scientometrics and ask the question of whether really these are the real factors, these are the real questions, these are the real problems that we should address when addressing, for example, subscriptions and addressing deals with publishers. These are real factors behind the supply and the demand for scientific information. We will return to it in just a few minutes, but I would quickly show the alternative, which alternative, of course, will be explained in detail in what follows. And this alternative is a different role of scientometrics provided by this unexploited potential of different scientometric frameworks, because scientometrics basically is not research evaluation and not counting cats. Basically, it's quantitative science studies, as has been said. Most notably, of course, within it, bibliometrics as the quantitative study of scholarly communication, but there's more to scientometrics than that, and we will see that in a few minutes. And for that matter, there are a couple of areas of open science management that scientometrics can contribute and aid this management of the cultural change. The first one, the most popular one, is of course the one that we have seen, actually aiding scientometric scientific information services to actually generate an optimal portfolio for the research community, balancing between paywall subscriptions, open access menus, and APC related deals. But there is a huge lot of other things, such as, for example, revealing and discovering the incentives, discovering the factors behind open access publishing, the real factors behind open access publishing in the research community, which of course helps us incentivizing open access publishing as such, designing actual interventions based on those factors. Speaking of interventions, I think that the most outstanding intervention today that we face is Plan S, of course, Plan S is a widely known, and I don't have to actually explain what Plan S is, of course, but this directive to actually change the whole culture and actually change it in favor of open access publication, in an absolute sense. This is a clear intervention, and this also would need, and this would be the, I think this would be the issue that I would spend the most time for. So this is an issue that definitely needs actually the discovery of the background factors of scientific scholarly publishing behavior. And of course, what we all know, where scientometrics can and do contribute to this thing, is the evaluation of open access mandates and policies, the evaluation of the success of open access mandates and policies. This is something that I would not stress here. In the literature, we have several examples. Actually, most of the literature is focusing on this part, and a lot of descriptive studies is concerned with actually revealing and empirically measuring, quantifying, uncovering basically the success of open access mandates and policies in terms of the ratios of open access publications to non-open access publications as related to different strata of the scientific communities, institutions, and so on and so forth. So this is something that is more known than the other parts, so I guess I would just mention it quickly. But let's get back to the first issue. And this is the area that I identified as the first area of where scientometrics can contribute. is actually aiding scientometric information services? And the answer is to this previous question whether the impact factors and journal metrics are the most important information when designing actually information services is actually not necessarily, because what we want to actually reach is of course to know what science is really seek for, what is the real demand of scientists in regard of scientific information. So we have to know basically the information seeking and the information consumption practices and behavior of the scientific community. And there are a huge lot of scientometric frameworks that is actually aimed and tailored towards that. One such framework is the bibliometric reference analysis, which provides a clear picture of how actually scientists use the literature. You might say that download statistics or something similar, or something like download statistics is similar to this, but actually I would distinguish between information seeking and information usage, and I would say that the actual role of the publishing venues, of different publishing venues or collection of publishing venue, can be revealed by bibliometric means, as in, for example, reference analysis. An example is presented on the slide from a relatively recent study where actually a certain research community was scrutinized and the usage of venues, the publication venues, was revealed. Most notably, not only the frequency, not only the distribution, the basic distribution of scientific or scholarly venues or journals or other channels, but also their interrelations in terms of usage, which actually gives a very good hint of what are the core sets, what are the interrelated core sets of journals and venues that are being used. So what are the most important sets, what are the most important groups of outlets that serve the purposes of particular research communities. So, but that's of course just an example of how a scientometric framework can contribute without any evaluation to this practice. And of course, in management levels, it comes to the decisions that actually what collection of journals is worth subscribing to, which of course paves the way to the opportunities of open access publishing, to letting open access publishing, and for example allocating some portions of certain portions of the funding to APCs or covering APCs based on such kind of information, of course if big deals let us do it. But this is just an example. More important examples from these frameworks of scientometrics are actually the ones coming from the studies uncovering the factors behind open access publishing. We can see several bibliometric models that seek for the relation between open access publishing and certain features of the scientific community, for example, institutional features in the scientific community. In a very recent study, this group of authors actually examined the causal relationship between the institutional types and the different access types of open access publishing. And very important factors basically were revealed. And it was concluded that there is a certain stratification, a certain counterintuitive stratification within a set of institutions. It seems that several types of institutions are much more willing to publish open access. And those kinds of institutions are those that we would not actually expect. I would return to this in a few minutes. But most importantly, we have also non-bibliometric models for the factors of open access publishing, although this example comes from a bibliometric journal, at least at a library journal, if not bibliometric. But we have so-called behavioral models for open access publishing, which actually examine the social and psychological factors behind open access publishing, such as personal innovativeness, the attitudes, and the social norms actually embedded in the scientific community. And the relationship is being examined, in this case with structural equation modeling, to the intention to publish open access. Now, what kind of motives, what kind of factors are being revealed? This is the, here is a small set of factors that seem to contribute to open access publishing, either from bibliometric models or from behavioral models. We all know that there is a certain need to publish in esteemed journals, and also the availability of financial issues is an issue, of course, it's a very important issue. Interestingly enough, the sensitivity to the risk to risk of publishing in non-conservative venues is also a very intensive factor, and it seems that high esteemed and highly ranked and scientifically and financially highly ranked institutions are much more willing to publish and adopt this innovative model, according to the previous study. That's what I omitted for the previous slide. So it seems that they are much more willing to publish than less prestigious or less highly ranked institutions in terms of scientific esteem, which also goes back to our theory of the adoption of innovative methods. So this is just a small set of factors that I wanted to actually stress, because this set of factors, and especially the social and behavioral studies, leads us to the big question. And this big question is, what is behind, or what can be actually, well, imagined behind Plan S, based on a scientometric approach? I guess that although there is a huge lot of investigations, of course, and there is a huge lot of evidence supporting Plan S, or at least scrutinizing Plan S in terms of compliance, in terms of open access penetration, and so on and so forth, there is a gap here. And this gap can be illustrated with this argument. I'm saying in advance that, of course, I'm not against Plan S. This is just an argument to the study of Plan S as an incentive, or as a mandate, basically. Plan S is a top-down approach to implementing open access mandates. It represents a kind of a direct intervention to publishing behavior, since it constrains publishing. It says that only gold open access publishing is what is acceptable for publicly funded research. But this is the major statement of Plan S, the claim, or this is the directive, so to speak. So in this sense, can we say that it's a direct intervention to publishing behavior? So the key notion behind is, of course, compliance, and we can see a lot of studies in terms of compliance. It's kind of there is a new conceptual framework emerging for open access studies, and compliance is the key factor or key concept. But the gap is that it is not related to the actual reality of the research community and the scientific research. The main reason is the fourth point, that in this format, of course, it assumes something of a free choice between outlets, something that is actually up to the researcher, basically and solely up to the researcher to choose between outlets. And also it somehow assumes that the outlets are substitutable, so I can easily substitute one outlet to the other without any consequences. However, we all know from the sociology of science and from the practice of science that actually publication behavior is constrained, socially constrained, in a lot of ways. For example, and these are just a few factors, of course, there are certain norms in scientific communities to comply with in scientific publishing. There is a certain extent of familiarity with a specific set of outlets. And this familiarity is directly related to productivity, because if we break this familiarity, if we actually enforce publication and other outlets, it can actually potentially, of course, lower the productivity because of the cost of this transformation, the cost of this actual exchange. Of course, outlet quality is a very important issue, and it seems really from the previous studies that these mandates seem to actually... Okay. yes, that's a... Thank you for the comment. And... okay, I will react on this later on, but... So it seems that hybrid publishing is something that is really supported by mandates, because it seems that there is a certain fear, of course, from gold or other open access venues. This is, I'm saying this as a factor of the operation of research communities. Also, collaborative patterns, co-authorship is something that highly affects this whole thing, since in author consortia there is actually a very good... In many cases, there is an actual conservative pattern of publishing, so to speak. So there is a constraint on where to publish with certain groups of co-authors. So in sum, there is a certain conservativity or conservativeness of scientific publishing. And this is the real thing, the real point, and where actually it comes to a real study. Where scientometrics can contribute. Scientometric evidence can actually investigate this, and, for example, in the form of investigating the elasticity of publication behavior between scientific communities. Now, this was the introduction so far, and this is the next thing will be the real presentation, because this is what we have actually done. Well, a brief study on this issue. I mean, there are many studies, of course, but this was our approach, so to speak, with the goal of studying this elasticity in a case study, so to speak. The goal of our study was the characterization of the long-term flexibility of publication profiles for scientific communities. Of course, the key variable, the key control variable was that. Scholarly field, because we wanted to actually also see the effect of the field, the scholarly field in question. The data was extracted from the Web of Science. Actually, what we extracted was the Hungarian output in the Web of Science within certain subject categories in this time period, in this 8-year time period. And the methodology is the key point, where we operationalize this concept, I mean this flexibility of scientific publishing, in comparing many things. Comparing, first of all, the distribution of publication venues along the entire time period. And on the other hand, we wanted to map, basically, the similarity of journal profiles for different time periods, how similar actually the publication profile for different time periods, as an indication of how flexible, basically, publishing is. Now, the last thing is just a technical thing to be very strict on methodological issues. We use, actually, as the main measure, the Cosin similarity between annual journal profiles. And we constructed two kinds of models. The first one was a network model, which actually demonstrate the similarity of journal profiles in terms of temporal distribution. Now, actually, what we see in this network representation is three things. First of all, the easiest thing is the size of the node, actually the dominance of the journal in terms of size. So the higher the size of the node, the more publications are being directed to the journal. The coloring of the shade, actually, of the node is proportional to the impact factor of the journal, so we can see quality indication as well on these networks. And the most important thing, of course, is the connectedness of journals, because if two journals are being connected, it means that they are basically being published in the same years. So in these network representations, what we see, if we see such a core periphery structure of a network with big nodes that are highly connected, it seems, or it means, basically, that there is a dominant set of journals throughout the whole time period, which is an indication of a conservative type of publishing behavior. And this one goes for agronomy, for example. We actually took examples from the different domains, life sciences, engineering, and so on and so forth, social sciences, and so on and so forth. The other type of model that we constructed was the similarity between years. This choral algorithm shows the actual similarity between years, and the more reddish the coloring, or the more filled the circle is, then the more similar the years that are in question. And for the case of agronomy, for example, it sees that there is a high but still moderate similarity in publishing profiles between the years. And we can continue, of course, this kind of argumentation with much bigger subject areas, for example, biochemistry and molecular biology, which is even more conservative than agronomy. It's much bigger, but even more conservative. There is a lot of, so to speak, satellite journals, the small nodes. But the publishing is so concentrated that we cannot really read the names of the journals, which is also reflected in the correlogram, in the similarity of between annual profiles of publishing. There are counterexamples as well. Information science, or at least a certain engineering type of field of information science, is much more structured. We can see that although there is a certain cluster which is dominant or seems to be dominant, there are a lot of satellite clusters as well that somehow relax this picture, which is also reflected in the similarity measure, which is not true, interestingly, for economics. Economics is very much concentrated, or at least Hungarian economics is very much concentrated. It's all red. The whole correlogram is basically red. And finally, nutrition and dietetics, which is a special applied area, and that was the reason for actually, one of the reasons for actually selecting it, as what's the case with a small and applied area. But the concentration, although not so high as, for example, in economics, is also striking, which is also represented in this kind of correlogram as well. So, some conclusions at the end, general and specific conclusions. First of all, some specific conclusions from this study. Well, it does seem that subject areas do exhibit a conservative publishing or publication behavior. Of course, this is a case study. It cannot be necessarily generalized at certain levels, but for a case study, I think it's quite illustrative. Although the models also provide evidence that there is a certain elasticity through those satellite groups of journals. And there are certain limitations, of course, to this study, because conservative publishing behavior, of course, is expected to be more articulated at the group or author level. The previous network that we have seen, the reference network, was based on author referencing practices. And at the author level, it is much more concentrated, of course, than at the level of whole subject areas, because, for example, agronomy is a diverse area, so it is not very representative in this sense. But in general, and this is, I think, the major and the most important conclusion, that it seems that scientometric or bibliometric, for that matter, modeling of publishing behavior is really needed to inform the feasibility of incentives, the feasibility of mandates and directives, such as, for example, Plan S. That's why I would say that, as a take-home message, I would say that do not forget the CatCount project, and do not forget the message of the CatCount project on sophisticated levels of analysis. Thank you for your attention.